pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Richard Randall is on now on Colorado 740 KVOR.
Man, I got called to the principal's office yesterday. Well, not quite the principal's office, the dean's office. Not one, but two deans to try to say I'm sorry and I was really a jerk. I could use words much more descriptive, much more accurate, but not suitable for the radio at a ball game the night before. And I think to myself, you know, this job stresses the hell out of me. It makes me angry. It makes me stressed. It's hour after hour, day after day. I'm inundated with all of this stuff. A lot of it's just negative, horrible stuff, right? And a lot of it, though, is news stories that just make me sick and make me angry. And it's the culmination. It's not just that it started now. It's the culmination of 8 years under Barack Obama. And I guess the fear that it was going to be Hillary Clinton for four more, maybe eight more years. Maybe at that point, there certainly would have been amnesty. There would have been granted amnesty, and you never would have seen a conservative thought in this country again. Would have changed the whole country. Welcome to the show. I want to talk about anger today. Maybe I'm alone on this. Maybe I'm the only angry guy out there. And I'm white, so I guess I'm an angry white guy. I'm not a white supremacist. I'm just a white guy. I'm not bigoted. I'm not racist. I'm not homophobic. I'm not, what else? I'm not class warfare. What would be the opposite of that? Snotty about, you know, class issues or whatever. I came from a very poor family. I think I'm a pretty normal guy. I have a feeling that I'm not alone in this. I need a phone call from you. And this is what I'm asking you today. Do you find yourself, in spite of having won the election, bigly, you won the presidency, you have the Senate, you have the House. We haven't lost the Supreme Court. It's still a conservative-leaning Supreme Court. These should be just glorious days. These ought to be wonderful days, especially if you ever take a time out, and you really need to while Hillary is out there whining and crying. Take a moment when she's bitching and moaning about everybody else's fault but hers that she lost the election. Take a moment to say a prayer and thank God that we heard from people like we did yesterday who had never voted in elections, who came out and voted in this election. We heard from people who stayed home because there was no way they were going to vote for Hillary. They might not vote for Trump either, but they weren't going to vote for Hillary. And that this nation took a turn. One of the most annoying things that I've had in the past couple of days, and we'll margin this out so that it's in the past week, in the past month, even in the past year or couple of years, are there things that make you angry? Now, if it's me that makes you angry, feel free to call 540-0740. If I anger you, either because of my beliefs or because of my behavior, maybe I'm too quick on the trigger, maybe you wait too long, maybe you just don't like my accent, whatever the heck it is, if I anger you, I'd be happy to hear from you, and especially if you're a liberal. And I got to tell you something, though. If you're a liberal and you call up and you say, Richard, you anger me because you're this and this and you've got trailer park trash who call in and listen to the program and that kind of thing. If you think I am for a minute going to change my behavior, you're wrong. This show is not about me changing my behavior. It's about you understanding why I am angry a lot of the time when I hit the air. And a lot of it, I really have to believe, has to do with where I get my news. Now, I'm going to try to schedule a seminar sometime soon where I talk to you about how to sign up and follow the president or to follow me on Twitter. I get a huge chunk of my news via Twitter. It's easy as can be. It runs continually through the day. It's usually about a day ahead of the news cycle, and I'm getting it from people that I trust. Now, I know some people would look at my feed and say, well, hold on, you're not getting it from people you trust. You're getting it from people who just tell you what you want to believe. You can say that if you want, but that's not true. The starting point, is there anything in the Denver Post That annoys me. Well, let's go through that. Frozen is a wonderful family-friendly spectacle. I haven't seen the play. The movie my kids loved, and my daughter in particular thought it was awesome. I watched it as an adult. I thought it was good, so that doesn't anger me. It's time for Duchesne Avs to part ways. Somebody, a columnist, wants to get rid of Matt Duchesne, says the Avs need to part ways. Honestly, after the strike season and once you got rid of Forsberg and Sakic and Waugh, my interest in the Avs has diminished. I have a great team and it'll come back, but for right now, I really don't care about that. But it doesn't anger me. Thank you just doesn't suffice. Kidney donation. That's a do-good story. How could that anger you? Hickenlooper calls special session for legislators to fix the pot tax error. You know what? That angers me because it angers me that pot was ever legalized in the state in the first place. I know a lot of you use pot. A lot of you do it medicinally. A lot of you do it recreationally. A lot of you would love to have the money from it. But more importantly, you use the money from it to justify why you want it to be sold in the city. And so the fact that they are even fixing any pot tax annoys the heck out of me. But what really annoys me on the front page is North Korea, second missile over Japan. Intermediate range flight into the Pacific was the military's longest. That's North Korean military. And talking about the Twitter feed, that's where I first learned of it. Within 2 or 3 minutes of that event happening, I knew that North Korea had fired over Japan. I knew that people in Japan had been told to shelter. Now, I want you to think about that. You're in Japan or you're here because they're going to have range to get here eventually. And if not here, they already have range to get to your loved ones who are serving in South Korea or your friends who are there or your relatives who are there. If you happen to come from there, married a GI or something like that, they're going to be able to hit Guam. They're going to be able to hit Hawaii. Oh, yeah. I took a vacation to Hawaii one time. Remember, it was so cool. We went here and here and here. Now start thinking of those places going up in a big mushroom cloud. It annoys me, that story annoys me, and it makes me angry, and it does so because of all of the presidents who allowed that to happen. Now, somebody was suggesting on Twitter, oh, well, maybe what they need to do is have a big conference. Remember the video that many of you saw maybe 4 or 5 days ago? It had all the former presidents saying how their hearts were all behind the survivors of Harvey down in Hurricane Alley down there in Texas. And it was okay. It was, I mean, when I saw the two Bushes, it was okay. When I had to listen to Obama and listen to Clinton, it was not quite so okay. And Jimmy Carter thrown in there on top of it. I'm looking at three failures as a presidential race, in my opinion. But you've got somebody suggesting that what you do is you bring together all of these presidents. You have a big conference in the White House with Trump, and he can learn from everything that they know. Really? They all screwed up. They in one, and I love Bush and I love his dad, but in one fashion or another, it was every one of them screwing up and not knowing what to do or not being willing to do anything that got us to this point where it was confirmed yesterday that yes, Korea, North Korea has a hydrogen bomb. So picture yourself. Here, you hear a siren like they did in Japan, and you're told to go shelter. This is no longer an abstraction. This is a reality. That annoys the hell out of me, that has been allowed to happen. 6,000 Carson troops on the move is the headline in the Gazette. It doesn't annoy me. It concerns me. I say a prayer for those people. I'm appreciative of those people. Front range on short list for high-speed transit system. That's in the Gazette. That delights me. Charges dropped for man accused of inducing an abortion. Oh, my God. You don't even hardly want to read that story. I don't even know if I'll tell you about it. What angers you in the news, if anything? Are you even angered? I'm Richard Randall. Phone lines are open.
Air Force football.
Throw short. Intercepted by Air Force.
On your Air Force station, 740 KVOR.
Richard Randall, I'll tell you one thing that does annoy me, and that's what we're talking about, either being annoyed or flat out angered, is the people who are trying to divide us. We are the folks who elected Donald Trump, and some of us just loved him from the very beginning. Some of us only voted for him because you couldn't stand the thought of Hillary Clinton being president, so you held your nose and you voted for him. There are a lot of people who are supporting other candidates out there. Ben Carson, Marco Rubio. I know a lot of people were supporting Ted Cruz out there and ended up voting for Donald Trump. Does anybody want to see him fail? Does anybody want to see him abandon what he said he was going to do? a wall, no amnesty, no citizenship, things like that. Well, he hasn't done that. And yet, if you were to believe some of the people out there, Ann Coulter in particular and others, she's calling for him to be impeached. That annoys me. That angers me. If you believe some of these people, you would think that he has destroyed his base. And yet, I'm watching him yesterday and this morning. And he didn't say, read my lips, but he said, there will be a wall. He said, no amnesty and no citizenship. Now, the key to that, I really believe you have to give this guy some credit for wheeling and dealing. And one of the things, it's profound. Somebody mentioned this on Twitter. I found it. And a person went through like a chalkboard, whiteboard kind of thing for maybe 5 minutes. And one of the things that he was pointing out, I hadn't thought about, is he said, did you really expect in this day and age in America, given everything that's run up to this, that you would have 800,000 people who would just massively be deported, all of these DACA quote-unquote dreamers, and I hate that term. The American dream is the one that I love. But you would have all of these people rounded up and shipped back to their home of origin, even though they were brought here as children, on and on and on. And my answer is, well, yeah, I'd be in favor of that. I know it'd be very difficult, but would I be opposed to that? No, I wouldn't be opposed to that at all. But it probably wasn't going to happen. I have to be smart enough to understand that probably wasn't going to happen. What would happen is you could offer something, but where I draw the line is this. I draw the line on offering them amnesty or citizenship. And I heard the president say the same thing. No amnesty, no citizenship. Why would that be a problem if you were to give somebody amnesty and citizenship? Give all of these DACA kids, all of their parents. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about maybe 5 million people. All of the illegals in the country. Now we're talking about 12 or 14 million people. Why would that be a problem? I'm embarrassed to say I didn't come up with the answer to this. But Tucker Carlson just distilled it to its simplest terms. And when you start getting all bleeding heart and you start thinking, you know what? Yes, we should just let everybody from Syria in, from everybody from Mexico, from all of these countries, either legally or illegally, we ought to let them into the country. I want you to remember this, and I'm going to play you this a bunch of times today to make sure you don't forget it. This is Tucker Carlson.
If this president doesn't get funding for a wall now, it will never be built, period. In Israel and in Hungary, walls have proven remarkably effective at controlling who crosses borders. And that's why Democrats oppose one on our border. Not because it won't work, but precisely because it will work. The Democratic Party has no interest in halting the flow of illegal immigrants, no matter how much it might hurt Americans who already live here. They've done the math. Democrats lost in 2016 because our middle class rejected them. That means they've got two options now. They can embrace the issues the middle class cares about, or they can import an entirely new electorate from the third world and change the demographics of the U.S. so completely they'll never lose again. They're going with the latter option. Yesterday we told you about College Park, Maryland, where illegal immigrants now have the right to vote in local elections. But that's just the beginning of a much larger trend. We can say with total confidence that letting illegals vote everywhere in all elections will be a mainstream Democratic position within 5 years, if not much sooner. Anyone who opposes it will be called a racist. Bet money on it. The dividends of such a strategy are just too obvious.
I'm Richard Randall. I'm not a racist, and I oppose that. In fact, one of the things I would say about people who are in this country illegally is this. If we have a pathway to something, it's not going to be a pathway to citizenship. It's not going to be a pathway to voting. Anybody who came into this country illegally doesn't get to vote. Felons don't get to vote. If you're out in the street and you're beating people up and you're doing things like that, you're believed to be a terrorist, a gangbanger, and all of these things, there's no pathway to citizenship for you. There may be, yes, a pathway to citizenship for the 900 or so people who are quote-unquote DACA dreamers who are in the U.S. military. I'll make an exception for that. But the whole deal, the whole narrative that Trump was giving everything away angers me. Let the man do what we thought he could do, and that was wheel and deal. Let's go to the phones. Richard, you're on 740 KVOR. You are the only person, apparently, who is angry as I am, or at least taking the bait. What do you have?
Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to make several points. First of all, I'd say that based on the statistic from the Colorado Department of Education. The Dreamers are the couch potatoes of all our waves of immigrants and illegal aliens that have come here. If you actually look at the 2017 statistics, Hispanics, and the Wall Street Journal has reported that the vast majority of the so-called Dreamers are from Mexico and Central America and maybe South America. At most, around 20 to 22% of the Hispanics in the Colorado educational system meet expectations, and 1 to 2% exceed expectations. If we think about somebody that goes to college, if they don't make acceptable grades and don't get a degree, then, or if they have misconduct, they can be expelled from college. It seems to me like the Dreamers here as couch potatoes are not learning and are going to be productive for America, and they should be expelled or deported.
Well, and that's why I think, Richard, did you notice I didn't interrupt you? I'm working on that, and I'm working on making sure I get to calls within 10 minutes. But here's the thing. I'm with you. You know what? If they do have, and if they ever talk about any kind of a pathway to citizenship for the best and the brightest, and they love America, and they're just like you and I, and all of that kind of thing, then they need to be getting that 1 to 2% that exceed expectations. When they've only got 20 to 22 who meet expectations, that tells me that we've got 78% that have no business being in America. I'm sorry. You know what? We have always wanted the best and the brightest from the rest of the world so that we could make America great again. Can you hold with me and give me some more when we come back after the top of the hour?
Sure.
All right, do that. You've got a couple of open lines. I want to know what angers you. I'll tell you what angers me is to hear statistics like this, that only in Colorado, these are the numbers according to Richard, 1 to 2% exceed expectations. And let me tell you something. I trust Richard. I absolutely trust Richard when it comes to this sort of thing. Only 20 to 22% meet Colorado expectations. You wouldn't want your kid to be in that category. So if you wouldn't want your kid to be in that category, why do we want people who are here illegal to be in that category? Back after this.
You're listening to Richard Randall. Get connected at 719-540-0740 and at The Richard Randall Show on Facebook. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not reflect those of KVOR, Cumulus Media, or its advertisers. Richard Randall is on Colorado's AM 740 KVOR.
You know, when I was a little kid, my dad worked for the Union Pacific Railroad, a little town, 500 people, about an hour east of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And all I could ever think that I wanted to be was to be a cowboy, a fireman, a cop, right? I mean, every kid wants to be those kinds of things. A baseball player, wanted to be a baseball player. And because of all the trains that went by, I was fascinated. In those days, kids grow up now, they don't even know what the heck a caboose is, but they had cabooses. And there would be guys in the caboose who would wave to you. And sometimes they'd throw you an orange or something. I know what happened is their wife or themselves, they made their lunch, they got on the train. They were going to go from North Platte to Cheyenne. And along the way, here's some kid waving at him in this little town. And it's like, throw him an orange. So we thought that's what the job was. You just sat in the caboose, waved at people, and threw oranges to him. I wanted to be the guy in the caboose. I never thought I was going to grow up to be a lawyer. That came later. That came in high school. I never thought I was going to grow up to be a television reporter or an anchor. That came in college. I never thought that I was going to be a talk show host. That came while I was a television reporter and an anchor. And I sure as heck never thought I was going to be a parent, much less an angry white guy. I'm an angry white guy. How the hell did that happen? When did I become the angry white guy? First of all, I got full phone lines, but you can tell me, how long have I been the angry white guy? I'm the angry white guy who goes to his daughter's softball game against a school and a team that we have a good relationship with. My kids have played with kids from that school on club teams. My daughter has as well. They're good people. They're decent people. Somebody gets badly, badly injured. I mean, big gash, 13 stitches, out for the season, maybe who knows how long. It is horrible. And automatically, I start assuming that, oh my gosh, this was just a dirty play and nobody wanted to hurt anybody. I'm certain of this. Just comes out how you slide. So I'm telling somebody, my own daughter, come in hard, spikes up. Not exactly like Ty Cobb or anything like that, but it was a stupid thing to say. And then people are like, yeah, what are you saying? And I'm like, that's exactly what your player just did. I'm just telling my kid to do what your player did. Oh, my gosh. I was such a jerk. Such a jerk. Anybody there who happens to listen to the show, I'm sorry. But here's my point. The anger that I exhibited at an event that I went to just relax and enjoy, it didn't come just from that event. In fact, I wonder how much of it even came from that event. It's like being a rage driver when it's not really so much that the person stopped too fast or cut you off or didn't make the left-hand turn and you sat there for a whole cycle because they were texting and you're totally angry. It's because you got all this other angry stuff going on. It's the news that makes me angry. And one of the things that makes me angry is the idea that there are Republicans out there saying, you know, this deal. First of all, there is no deal. I'm angry for you to say that there was a deal between the president and Pelosi or Schumer. No deal. They talked about some stuff. He's negotiating. And he has said there will be a wall. And he has said no amnesty and no pathway to citizenship. Let the man do his job. Richard, I had to carry you over. You had great info for us. Do you ever get angry? You never. You're always so calm. You're like a CPA or something.
I try to avoid that, you know, but there's people that can, you know, pull my chain or something like that. The one thing that I've been thinking about a lot about what the Democrats are doing is that you have the moral dimension of sanctity versus depravity, and what they're doing in most cases on the Dreamers is that they're talking about, well, these are all good people. And if, you know, they had that law professor up there in front of the Senate and they were saying, well, you shouldn't be, you know, adhering to Catholic dogma. But if we think about what Democrats are doing, they're bearing false witness against their neighbors because they're unfairly, or they're characterizing the Dreamers in many ways in which is absolutely not truthful. And that bothers me. And the other part is that when you had the preacher on the last week, in Exodus 23, both the Jews and the Christians know that you shouldn't pervert justice by following the crowd.
Well, here's my thing. You know what? I like merit. And if we had a merit system in America, you'd get to stay. I get to stay. I'm a productive member of society. I contribute to society. I'm raising nice kids and wonderful kids. I pay my fair share of taxes. I don't break the law. I don't rape people. I don't sexually assault people. I don't rob from people. And so I'm productive. You are as well. If we had a merit-based United States of America, I'd be happy to say, you know what? Those 900 military Dreamers, we'll keep them. And that one or two who exceed expectation Dreamers that you just told me about, Richard, we're going to keep them. Now, the 20% to 20% who are meeting expectations, we're going to think about them. But everybody who came here illegally doesn't get to vote. So there may be some quasi-citizenship. You may get work papers and a social security card. You're going to have to pay taxes, but you're not going to get to vote because it all comes down, just like Tucker Carlson said, it all comes down to votes. They don't care about these people. The Democrats don't. They're not some high and mighty people who they don't even understand middle-class Americans. They have made a determination that they can't win the middle class, that Donald Trump won the middle class, and if they can't do that, how can they regain power? By letting people in from Muslims from other countries and people in from South America, from Mexico and other countries, getting them to vote Democratic and changing the nature of this country that we love so much. And instead of changing the nature, we voted to make it great again. I appreciate it. Richard, Maureen, you're on 740 KVR. Good morning.
Good morning, Richard. Hey, I remember my dad coaching my brother's little league teams, and when he didn't coach, he got thrown out of so many games.
Seriously? Oh, my gosh. I feel so good because I used to coach. That's true confessions. I used to coach both of my kids. My daughter played baseball, and I coached her in both of them. And I was a very good coach, and I never got thrown out as a coach. But, man, it gets hot when you're a parent.
Well, and he was very passionate, which is what you are. So a couple of things. you talking about the trains. I spent the first 8 years of my life in little towns in Pennsylvania, and the trains, the caboose. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember them throwing oranges out, but King of the Road. That makes me think of that. My mother used to sing that all the time.
There you go.
But as far as something you said yesterday, and one of the women callers, which will anger that man. Speaking of anger, who doesn't like your female callers? But she was right. She said that we don't call to hear monologues. We call because of you. And so as far as the interrupting goes, I consider that more of a dialogue. And when you do interrupt, it's usually because you're passionate about something we're saying and you agree with us and you're just, you know, letting us know you agree with us, or you disagree with the person because it's so blatantly false, untrue, whatever, and that is why you interject.
Well, I like to do that. I mean, one of the things I try to do is I try to, if somebody is making a great point, I get excited about it because I'm like, dang, you're right on point. And I guess I want to give a big highlight to that. Do I get too angry? Do you ever get angry? You always sound pretty reasoned when you call
in. I have a terrible temper, but I get over stuff really fast. I have a fierce temper. I'm Irish. I'm German.
There you go. Oh, my gosh. That's a bad combination when it comes to tempers.
And Catholic, reformer Catholic. So, you know, especially if there's a few glasses of wine involved. But anyway. No,
well, what in the news right now angers you? Because I've got 25 pages of stuff that I posted on Twitter in the past 24 hours, and probably at least two-thirds of it angers me.
Well, I think the fact that Ann Coulter said what she said, because I do like Ann Coulter. And here's the reality. Look at what happened the past 8 years. Nothing has gotten done except for things that aren't good for the country.
Yes.
And Donald Trump has tried, and he has tried. And I used to like Paul Ryan. Forget him. His own party is refusing to help him. They waited for the health care vote for McCain to come back, and then he voted against them. And it's like, so he, why should he do the status quo? So it angers me when I hear people that at least, you know, maybe they didn't support him from the get-go, but they supported him once he was elected, saying stuff like that. He shouldn't be impeached. It isn't working the other way.
No, it's not. And here's the deal. If that rattles them and that gets them to start doing some things and realizing that they've got a choice, they can start working with him or he's going to start working with the Democrats, then maybe they'll start working with him and get something done. I appreciate the call. I'm trying to keep my 10 minute comment here. Carol, you're on 740 KVR. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, Richard. I just want to take a few minutes of your time. Do you mind if I go back just maybe one, two generations to tell you what angered me that I see reflected in this generation now?
No, I would love it.
Okay. When we were in college, this was back in the 60s, there was a program called Upward Bound. And it was for people who couldn't pay their tuition. I'm not sure if they were people who were coming over the border illegally, because I don't know if that was going on at that time. However, it was a group of people that were referred to at that time as minorities. Let me tell you, Richard, they got the classes we couldn't get into because they were booked solid. They drove better vehicles than we did. I was working to pay my way through, and my parents, of course, paid the tuition. I paid everything else. And it was fairly reasonable back then. But for that standard of living and for that time, it was still hard because all things are relative. And the tuition in relation to what parents were making at that time was still steep. And so, you know, I saw that. Okay, that was called Upward Bound. I don't know what happened to that program. Then, when I had children, moved out of the city, moved to another town here in Colorado, there was a program called free lunches, and I do think that was statewide. Okay, my husband was in law enforcement. We qualified for nothing. No free programs, nothing.
I hate to interrupt, but let me stop here. Of everyone we value, and I know there are these nonsense BS people out at UCCS who print their little rag who says that not law enforcement, the military folks are bad, they're white supremacists, and they don't want them on campus. That
right.
is absolute nonsense. Of everybody I would love to see on college campuses, it would be cops and those in the military, because
exactly.
I think young people need to learn from somebody. If they're sitting next to a cop in a class, they can find out, you know what, this is what it's like. like, I'll tell you what, why don't you come out with me on a ride-along sometime and see what it's really like to be the person in blue. The person in the military, they can give a good idea of just what the heck these people think they're protesting about and how those people in the military fought so hard for last night for Ben Shapiro, who they call a white supremacist. Oh, my gosh, the guy wears a yarmulke. I didn't even know what a yarmulke was until I went to law school. I had one Jewish friend in college. I'd never known anybody was Jewish till I got to law school. And then I had two Jewish friends, but they didn't wear yarmulkes. There's all of a sudden a guy's walking down the hall with a beanie in law school. I'm like, what the heck is that?
Exactly. Richard, back to this program about the free lunches, and I appreciate what you're saying, and you're right. Back to that, my children were sitting across the table from a friend of mine who received free lunches, aid to dependent children, food stamps, you name it. My child was sitting across the table from her eating peanut butter and jelly, if they were lucky, generally butter sandwiches, because we couldn't afford lunch meat, number one, and number two, she was allergic to peanut butter, we found out later. Okay, so then she's complaining to me about the lunches and how terrible they are. The free lunches.
You know, and here's the...
Richard, let me just finish
real quick.
I'm sorry.
No.
I said, listen, my child is sitting across from you, and your child's getting a free lunch. My child's eating butter sandwiches because I can't afford anything else, and I'm paying for your child's lunch. That's what makes me angry. And Richard, I see that progressing up through the generations until now. And, yeah, you know what I'm upset about now in the headlines is Ann Coulter. Okay, Richard, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's good. I need to move on so I can keep my 10-minute time limit. Carol, you nailed it. And you know what? I'm a little bit embarrassed to tell you this, folks, but when I grew up, I had butter sandwiches for lunch. All you have is a piece of bread. You put butter on it. Sometimes you put sugar on top of the butter, and that was it. When everybody thinks, oh, highfalutin this or that, really? You don't know me at all? You don't freaking know me at all. I get a text message. Let me read this real quickly. Richard, here you go. The Hispanic community finally sees you for who you really are. Yesterday's program, you really devilish soul racist. I feel sorry for your Hispanic friends. They do not know you are the same demon. Newsflash to you. If you think all Hispanics or all blacks or all whites or all anything are all the same, you're absolutely crazy. My Hispanic friends are as conservative as I am. They want the border secured absolutely positively. They don't have a lot of empathy and sympathy for people who are coming in illegally. Although one of them said, you know, Richard, I have to admit, I've got a pretty extended family. We have big families, and there are some people who came in illegally in my family. I'm not sure what to do about that, but he voted for Trump. So don't tell me the Hispanic community sees me for what I am. I am what I am. James, you're on 740 KVR.
Hey, good morning, Richard.
Oh, James, dang it. You know what? I got trying to do things, and I just looked at the clock. I am way behind. I need to put you on hold for a second. That was not a technicality of me trying to do that, but I do have Jeff Crank. Jeff, hey, welcome aboard, Jeff. I get so carried away sometimes. What do you have coming up tomorrow?
Well, of course you do, Richard. That's what this is all about, is getting a little bit carried away sometimes.
There's so much.
There's so much to talk about. We've got lots tomorrow. We're 2 hours tomorrow because of Air Force football. So we're only from 6 until 8 o'clock, and then Air Force football pregame starts at 8. But we do have a lot going on tomorrow. And, of course, we're going to talk about the Ben Shapiro speech, which I thought was phenomenal.
Phenomenal! Oh, my gosh.
You know, what a hero to go in there. And, it takes a lot of courage to do that, to do what he did. And, you know, $600,000 for security, I guess that's what you have to pay when you coddle these people, for years on end. And so they're sort of getting what they deserve, I think, that university. But Chuck Broerman's going to join us. They're prosecuting people now for voter fraud in El Paso County.
Good.
And he's going to talk about that a little bit with us as well. So we've got lots coming up tomorrow on the show.
Oh, man. I mean, there is so much. We haven't even touched on Chelsea Manning yet and talked about North Korea yet. There is so much. I'll look forward to listening to you tomorrow. 2 hours. It'll just be a little bit quicker, a lot more condensed into it. Thank you so much, Jeff Crank. James, you're first up. Ed, you're second up when we come back on 740 KVOR.
You're listening to Richard Randall. Get connected at 719-540-0740 and at The Richard Randall Show on Facebook.
Falcon Football Saturday.
Throw, touchdown, Air Force.
Air Force heads to the Big House to face Michigan. Live at 10 a.m. 740 KVOR.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I love you people. You people lift me up, and sometimes I need to be lifted up. This comes in by text. There's two of them. One's from a Hispanic Native American. It says, I love you and respect you, Richard. Ignore the hateful liberals. I'll get to that full text in a second. This says, as long as you laugh and enjoy other things in life along with your angry passions, you've got balance. Thanks for sharing your balance with your listeners. To Maureen, I'm German-Irish, too. Can you imagine if the two of us had our own show along with Richard? The other guys wouldn't have a chance. Have a good weekend. Let's go back to you, James. James, you got about 2.5 minutes or so. What do you have?
All right, good morning, Richard. I got three things that you haven't covered yet to deal with immigration. One of the things is how it affects both the younger generation and the older generation, because the older generation is looking for income supplements, and the younger generation is looking to get a start in life. The other aspect is you're looking at the immigration process as it stands currently. You're going to be affecting all these immigrants that are trying to come in here illegally are going to be end up pushed back in the back burner because you're going to have an influx of illegals that are allowed to immigrate here and get jobs when you've got highly qualified legal immigrants that went through the process.
Exactly. I mean, Go ahead with your other point.
And then finally, you know, you're looking at the illegals that are coming here, a majority of them are undereducated, and they don't have job skills. They're basically, they're going to be laborers.
That's it. And that's what somebody like Angela Merkel thinks you need. And there are people in the Democratic Party who will argue that you need that. Well, guess what? I had labor jobs. I was a laborer in an ironworks, Abex Railroad Products. I did that summer after summer. It was hard, dirty work, but they paid me good dues. I'll tell you that. They paid me good wages to do that. And I had labor jobs all the way through college. I don't think American workers are so coddled that they're not. You pay them a decent wage and they'll do the job. I appreciate it, James. And here's some food for thought. It dovetails off what you said, James. Most of us came here, our families came here as immigrants, in my family, on both sides. They came from the Alps on my mom's side, and they came from England and Scotland on my dad's side. They all came here legally. What if at the time there had been a massive influx of illegal Irish? Let's say there were 3 million illegal Irish who were willing to do all of the hard jobs, because Irish were hardworking. And then, it was the Germans. Because in their turn, it was the Germans who were the hard workers. What if there were 3 million illegals there? Your ancestors, my ancestors, never would have gotten to this country.
You're listening to Richard Randall. Get connected at 719-540-0740 and at The Richard Randall Show on Facebook.
In this particular neighborhood is under lockdown. We can't go to any of the streets anywhere near the subway station itself. But most of the subway system is continuing to run. And Foreign Minister Boris Johnson said, you know, people should just get on with their lives. The shops and the cafes and coffee shops are all open for business and people are just hanging out.
All right, here you go. You know what? We had a terrorist attack in London yet again. I think it's the fifth one of the year there. Fortunately, we don't have any fatalities so far as I know. It basically, and we should be on the alert for this in our airports and elsewhere, because if they are learning how to make this online in London or in England, they're learning how to make it here. It's called a bucket bomb, and you take almost like one of those white ball buckets that you would have for baseball or softball or one of those Home Depot orange buckets. It looks like that. You put some form of explosive in it. You have a timer on it. You put it in a big shopping bag that you can carry it, and you put it on a subway train. Fortunately, the train that it detonated on was actually above ground. When they call something a subway, any of you who have lived in cities know this, a subway runs underground for a portion of the ride and then above ground usually for a portion of it as well. Fortunately, it was above ground, so when they stopped the train, people could get off. We're going to talk to Ed in just a second. He's he's a Yank now. But he was a Brit before, and I think you've always got a little bit of a Brit. Now, here's the big controversy. First, I saw complaints this morning that the president hadn't tweeted fast enough in terms of the terrorist attack in London. And then when he did tweet, it was, oh, he didn't wait for the facts, because he made a tweet that in essence said, you know what, probably under this, somebody that Scotland Yard probably had under their, within their view, because that's what's happened over and over and over again. You have a Muslim mayor in London who says terrorist attacks are just part of a big city. No, they're not. No, they're not. One of the best posts that I saw on Twitter today, I don't know who the guy was, but he had back-to-back posts. And the first one was an image of London, and it showed all the carnage and the people were damaged, and showed the bomb. And it said England, and then the second post was Poland, and it showed just a normal street, nothing going on, people just walking here and there. And his point, so you need to understand a little bit of context, is that Poland has said, we don't want air refugees. We don't want immigrants. We don't want to change our culture like Germany and England and France and all of the other ones are. And we don't want the problems with it as well. Let's go to Ed. Ed, you're on 740 KVOR. This has got to be hard for you to see your homeland putting up with all this stuff.
Yeah, Richard. Well, you know, I've written a book on common sense, and we've lost it. I rode the subway in London for 3 years and never felt any fear at all, except it was very crowded. You were nose to nose. You had the door slamming your back, and the guy stuck the knee in your back to close the doors. It was not much fun, but that was the way of life.
And you know what changed, Ed? Let me interrupt for a quick second, because I was listening to somebody this morning who said that when the train originally stopped, because they've had all of these false alarms and they've had terrorist, reports before, she thought it was just another false alarm, because that's become part of riding the subway or the tube in England since you left. Now it's just common for it to have to stop because maybe there is a terrorist attack, and today there was.
Yeah, let me get back to Berkeley. Our oldest son went to Berkeley Optometry School when we went out to visit with him. Back in those days, Richard, the kids went to school to learn. They didn't have these people come on campus costing $600,000. These young people, Richard, I'm sorry to tell you, if they had to go to war in Normandy to defend their country,
oh my God,
they would mess their pants. There's no question about it. We stop funding these higher education facilities. It's a great university, but it's gone to pot, literally, and we should not be funding them. That's the only way we're going to stop them. As for the Dreamers, a common sense again, they said, oh, let the Dreamers stay because there's no fault of their own. Well, then how about the parents? So you send the parents back, the kids can stay. Now you're splitting up the families. So again, common sense.
But hold on, Ed, let me.
If the kids stay, Richard, the parents will have to stay. And so I've said before, these 13 million came over here on their own. Didn't cost us anything to bring them over. They find their own way back. They come back here legally, get a green card, go to work, pay some taxes. You can't run for office, or not for federal office or president. You can get a green card. Then you work for citizenship if you want. If you don't, you can stay on a green card. But you're paying taxes and contributing to life in America.
Ed, let me thank you for it. I like that. Let me say this, too. This idea of splitting up families, nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. Do you think that I don't know people who have been in this country illegally? I'm at a ball game. I'm my kid's playing Little League in those days. And there's a guy, can't even speak English, who comes up and asks if I can take some photographs of his grandson or whatever. And I'm nice enough to take some photographs of him. I know the guy was illegal. He wanted the photographs to send back to Mexico. Did I call ICE on him? I'm not so freaking heartless as everybody thinks I am. But I will tell you this. There are many illegals that I have known who have been here, who've talked to me, and they are mailing their money back home to their families. They didn't bring their entire family with them. Their family is split up already. So if you told me that if you want to stay here as a dreamer, you're 30 years old, and you expect that we're going to keep you, and now all of a sudden we're going to keep your mom and your grandmother and everybody else, and that number is going to go from 800,000 to 3 or 5 million, no way. I'm sorry. You know what? You're just going to have to figure out something better than that. But the one thing that's not negotiable, a wall. And we're going to give you Tucker Carlson here in a second again explaining why the wall is mandatory, because I agree with him. If you don't build a wall now, you're never going to have it. But first, let me go out to Berkeley last night. $600,000 they had to pay because they have let Antifa and the others run roughshod over that entire campus when Milo was out there. A gay guy, right? Are they all homophobic? Was everybody in that audience homophobic? Why didn't they say all these Antifa people, all these protesters are homophobes? They're protesting a gay guy, of course. What? Where was the media narrative on that? Oh, he's a conservative gay guy. Oh, I get it. You get to be homophobic if he's conservative. I didn't get that. Oh, we have a white supremacist there last night in Ben Shapiro. Did you call him anti-Semitic too? He's a Jewish white guy. He's conservative. He's smart as a whip. And he had somebody in the audience, he was talking about abortion, he had somebody in the audience who thought he was going to school Ben Shapiro on the issue of abortion. It doesn't matter where you stand on the issue of abortion. It's a tough issue, and my position on it has evolved, becoming more and more pro-life through the years. Let me tell you that right now. I wasn't always that way. I sure as heck wasn't that way when I was in college, and I was so scared to death that that would have happened, and that would have been the only way out or whatever. But you see life better as you get older, especially after you have kids. Right? And you don't want people to have to go through that kind of thing. This is Ben Shapiro, and somebody in the audience who thinks he's got the better of Ben Shapiro on the issue of abortion.
Right. The problem is anytime you draw any line other than the inception of the child, you end up drawing a false line that can also be applied to people who are adults. So either human life has intrinsic value or it doesn't. I think we both agree that adult human life has intrinsic value. Can we start from that premise?
I believe that sentience is what gives something moral value, not necessarily being a human alone.
Okay, when you're asleep, can I stab you?
I'm still considered sentient when I'm asleep.
Okay, if you are in a coma from which you may awake, can I stab you?
Well, then, no.
I'm glad you answered that, because I have no interest in actually murdering you.
That's still potential sentience, and it's still a potential...
I agree, it is potential sentience. You know what else is potential sentience? Being a fetus. Yeah.
Bam! You know what is potential sentient life? Being a fetus. Now, you know that there are some people went in like that guy, thinking, you know what, I'm going to make this guy look bad in front of all the other people who came here. But what you have to understand is, even at a place like Berkeley, there are people like your kids, like your daughter, your son, your nephew, your niece, your grandkids, who've even gone to a school like that, who say, this school doesn't reflect. This school doesn't reflect what I'm about. Could you imagine somebody at Harvard, one of your kids was actually fortunate enough, they didn't get, you know, some preferred treatment like Barack Obama or Hillary or many of the rich people or this or that. They end up going to Harvard, right? And all of a sudden, they find out that there's going to be a fellowship. To who? A visiting fellowship. Well, we're going to give that to Chelsea Manning. Do you have anybody who's in the military? Do you even give a damn about anybody who's in the military? Because I don't have anybody who's in the military. But I know people have been in the military because they've been the parents of the kids that my kids were friends with. I've seen them at school. I've seen them at ball games. You ever hear of the movie Restrepo? It's about Afghanistan. It's about a remote outpost there. It's the best documentary on Afghanistan you will ever find. I'm sitting in a scoring booth with some guy at a ball game down in Fountain, and we're scoring the game. We get talking about this and that, and I say that I had seen this wonderful movie. It was so dramatic, and it really gave you an idea of what it was like to be posted in Afghanistan. He goes, oh, I was posted at Restrepo. It's real. So imagine that person, and if you don't have that person, imagine the person in front of the line at King Soopers or somewhere else, and now think to yourself, Chelsea Manning was a traitor. Doesn't have to do with her gender. Stop that. Anybody who tells you, oh, well, it's homophobic, it's transphobic, it's all that. No, it's not. It has to do with somebody who was a traitor, who put American lives in the field at risk, and beyond that, imagine, I want you to imagine this family in Afghanistan. They're living a little hovel of a hut with clay walls or something. They've been under the Taliban for all of these years. And finally, their daughters can go to school. And finally, they don't have to worry about that knock on the door at 2:00 in the morning because the Americans are here. So they cooperate with the Americans. They tell them, you know what, this road, IED, you need to be really, really careful. Or I'll tell you what, I think the Taliban over in this next village, whatever. And Chelsea Manning releases this information. And now all of a sudden, if the U.S. ever leaves, that guy's a dead man. Even if the U.S. doesn't leave, that guy may be a dead man because of Chelsea Manning. And Harvard said, oh, come be a visiting fellow here. You know what? America can sometimes be a great country. And as angry as you just heard me about them offering a visiting fellowship to Chelsea Manning, I'm delighted to say within 24 hours, they got their clock cleaned in the court of public opinion by people like you and I, and especially people who used to be in the CIA and are in the CIA, who said, if you think there's a snowball's chance in hell of us coming to Harvard and being a visiting fellow to talk to you about intelligence at the Kennedy Institute, what the hell is wrong with these people? Do you think, my parents were big Kennedy supporters. Do you think John F. Kennedy would have ever tolerated a traitor to the United States of America and to the military? He was PT 109, right? Do you think he would have tolerated in his name a fellowship to Harvard to a U.S. traitor? Thankfully, they reversed themselves and tried to save face. But I won't forget what they did, and you shouldn't either. Angry man, I guess. I don't know. Got a couple of open lines. Tell me if anything angers you or whether it's annoying to listen to me be angry. I got a bunch of texts I have to get to as well. I do appreciate all of your support. Good people out there, white, Hispanic, black, it doesn't. See, that's what they don't get. They want to divide us. This guy who sends in the text messages about how hateful I am towards Hispanics and the rest, he wants that to be the narrative. They want me to be the homophobe. They want me to be the white supremacist. That's like the black chick on ESPN. The president's a white supremacist. What? No, chick, you're the racist.
You're listening to Richard Randall. Get connected at 719-540-0740 and at The Richard Randall Show on Facebook. Don't leave the house without us.
I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened here.
Colorado 740 KVOR.
This comes in by text. It says, as Hispanics, we support all the Dreamers, regardless if they have documents or not. I love your kids and I do not hate them as you hate mine. I don't hate your kids. Thanks for that felling to my kids. I'm not sure what that is, but it does. And this is somebody I think who texts me from time to time, is here illegally. It says, please do not even say in joke that you're a Christian. You know what? I try to be a Christian. How about that? I try to be a Christian. I don't know if I'm a good one. I know I'm a sinner, but I try not to be hateful. You are the devil in person. My kids are so sad to hear you on the rewind. Every single tear they drop is your fault. So how your God will make you pay for that, God bless your kids, but not you, the demon. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I live for my kids. So if the issue is you hate me and you're God blessing my children, I'll take that. This comes from somebody who's equally Hispanic. Everybody's not cut from the same cloth. Trump is in his 4D chess game again. 4D chess again. 6 months delay means DACA still ends up, but Republicans have to choose between virtue signaling or loyalty to Trump during the primaries in 2018. There's literally no way they can stay silent on the issue when it's pushed back so far. Neither the House nor Senate have enough votes to get a Save DACA bill placed on the president's desk, let alone the votes necessary to override a veto. By pushing it back 6 months, Trump is forcing the GOP traitors to expose themselves right as people are starting to pay attention to their local elections this September. This is brilliant stuff. DACA would officially end in April. Most primary elections in 2018 will be around May. There is no way the issue doesn't come up during local debates, press conferences, etc. And this says, I'm a Hispanic and Native American. Love you, respect you, Richard. Ignore the hateful liberals, which is on the other end of this thing. And I heard one profound thing. And it was this morning on Fox News. I don't recall who it was. Somebody was saying, it was Jason Chaffetz. Jason Chaffetz. Love him because he knows how Congress works. He said Trump may be the most brilliant man in the world because if the Senate passes DACA, right? Some sort of DACA, it's not amnesty. Trump says no amnesty, right? And he says no citizenship, no path, and he says still a wall. Those are the three things that you need to know the president is saying. Senate passes something and it goes to the House. Chaffetz says, we just let it sit in the House and sit in the House and sit in the House because Donald Trump can build a wall. He doesn't need Congress to approve a wall. He can do that all on his own. The only thing he needs for the wall is funding for the wall. And eventually Mexico will pay for it one way or another. But he does need the starter money and the funding for the wall. And that's where the House has to pony up on that. But he says we can hold DACA up in the House as long as we want. And we will have all the leverage we ever need if we do that. That's freaking brilliant. Tim Fisher.
I won't, you know, speaking of wall funding, we should start a GoFundMe account. And I guarantee the American public would donate to the GoFundMe to build the wall.
I would.
But the text you were reading,
yeah,
that comes from a very good friend of the show. He interacts all the time on Facebook. I wish I could get him to call, but no, he is very well-read, very intelligent. It was Aaron Rivera. I'll go ahead and tell you exactly who it was.
Well,
Aaron Rivera.
I'll take that.
Good friend of the show. Always provided. I mean, when you hear me go, hey, this is really good from Facebook, 9 times out of 10, it's Aaron Rivera.
All right. Final thoughts here, and I didn't even get a chance to do it. I'll try to do it over the weekend and post it or go back to it on Monday, because what angers me, I've got 25 pages of it. You just heard the tip of the iceberg that North Korea got to this point, that there's another terrorist attack in London, and people in London and England are now complaining that Donald Trump was tweeting about this, and it's not helpful if he didn't know specifically that whoever committed this crime was on a watch list by Scotland Yard. You know what? That's happened often enough in France, in Germany, and in England for that to be a pretty reasoned calculation. And I'll tell you what, check back with me in a month or two or a week or two or a day or two when you've been able to look at all the surveillance video. There are cameras all over the place in England. They'll be able to look at surveillance video, see who was carrying this. By this afternoon, there will already be images all over the place online of who was ever carrying this bucket bomb on. And then we will find out if the president was right. But I have to tell you, the Prime Minister got a phone call from the president. The mayor in London can't stand the president because he tolerates, all kinds of nonsense in London. And I've got a feeling there are a lot of Brits over there who are saying right on, Yank, when it comes to Donald Trump. Can you give us an update on the nurse who was in the U.S. Virgin Islands, got nailed by Irma and has been trying to get out of that hellhole? And it's really, she described it as hell.
Well, she had described going through the storm as 12 hours of hell. She's considered herself a hostage in her own country because she's on St. Thomas, which is a U.S. territory. But she had a flight out for tomorrow. They still have not got the St. Thomas airport open, so that flight was canceled. So she thought it was going to be sometime midweek before she got out. This morning, she booked passage on a boat, not a ship, just a boat that's going to be island hopping, and you'll get her to Puerto Rico tomorrow. She'll fly out of Puerto Rico on Sunday. She'll be back in rural Iowa on Sunday evening.
Very good. That is great news. A couple of final texts here. There's a lot of anger permeating around this country. I think a great deal of it is because politicians who don't represent their constituents, politicians who are bought and paid for by whoever is the highest bidder. That comes in. It says, my law, if you are found to be in this country illegally, you are disqualified from ever becoming a U.S. citizen or getting any benefits. How about that? We'll talk about that next week. This one says, keep fighting the good fight, Richard. You're a good man. Tell you what, I try to be a good man. I try to. Come back Monday morning and do it again. 8:30 to Rush.
We're going to find out how good you are at college football tomorrow morning as you're the guest picker on University of Fish.
Oh, that could be a boondoggle, I'll tell you what. What time is that?
7 a.m. Extra Sports, 1300.
See you then, and then I'll see you again on Monday morning, 8:30 to Rush.